The following podcast contains explicit language and content that may not be suitable for some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hi, welcome to the Guestbookie podcast, where two married guys share stories of the paranormal encounters, urban legends, true crime, and other scary things from around the world. I'm Andres.
And I'm Kevin. And how have you been?
Good. How have you been?
Tired.
Same. We went to a wedding this past weekend. The wedding was very fun.
Whoa, hold on. You got a little too far ahead of yourself. Back up one day. How was everyone's Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody fight? Okay, looking back at, like, the times that we recorded around, like, Thanksgiving, around, like, Christmas, it's like, don't forget, if someone tries to come at you, like, be sure to clap back. And now looking back at it, it might be because we're just older, but, like, now I'm like, why the fuck would we say that?
No, I'm more angry now. I'm like, nah, beat their ass.
Oh, well.
Be the fun at the party. Have that extra glass of wine. Get uninvited from Christmas. How fun.
I mean, I'll swing at someone. I don't give a fuck, but see? I'm not going to be the one to start it.
See? Deep down in your heart of hearts, you're still Ratchet.
You know me so well.
Yeah. You're still Hood. Hee hee.
So this episode comes out at the end of November, but the next December. So by the time you guys listen to this, the next time you guys will listen to me, I'll be 30.
Wow.
I'm old.
Over the hill.
It's all downhill. Actually, it's been downhill for...
Isn't it uphill because downhill's easier?
No, downhill because everything's bad.
Sorry, the main character had to make an appearance in the podcast. My
fucking God, Leo. Shut the fuck up.
He had to get a word
in. It never fails.
He had to say, old bitch. He said that to you.
Old you.
That's literally what
he said. It never fails that any time we're recording, he always finds it to make it about himself.
Yeah. He's like, hello? Why aren't we paying attention to me?
It's like, and you know who else is dirty? Not me.
It's fucking that's short
what,
ass.
That's what he sounds like when he talks. Yeah. If he talks.
Anyways, so Thanksgiving happened.
Yeah, I hope nobody fought.
Yeah. I hope somebody did fight.
If they did, make sure to record it.
Yeah. Send it to us through the Instagram. But anyways, we went to a wedding on Friday and it was so much fun. My cousin got married. Congratulations, Christian and Mirta.
Yes. It was so fun.
Yeah, we had so much fun at that wedding. Except my clothes did not fit and I felt uncomfortable the whole night. Or I just felt like my clothes didn't fit. I felt like they were a little tight. I've just been putting on my winter body and I'm not used to it yet.
I also feel like they were so stressed out about the wedding that when it was finally over, like, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, like, I had fun.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, the music was good.
Like, they were stressed out so much about it that it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be. Does that make sense? No. They anticipated bad things happening, but no bad things happened.
Yeah.
Or at least not anything like...
Nobody got major, drunk or noticeable. Crazy.
Nobody fought.
Nobody threw food at each other that I know of. I don't know. That little snack bar they had was cute. I got some chips and some Japanese peanuts, and those were good. Those are my favorite. If anybody ever wants to know what my favorite thing is Japanese peanuts, the spicy ones.
Oh yeah, it was un loco, right? They had like a snack bar. Is yeah. that what it's called? They had like you can make your own esquite or a loco, yeah. which is like chips, candy, sauces, fruit. That was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I had fun. Anyways, if I say I had fun one more time, I'm going to blow up. So what else we got to talk about in the palate cleanser? I feel like we just talked to you guys because we just recorded Kevin's episode not that long ago and posted it. I've been so irresponsible this month and haven't done my notes on time. So that's why we had a switch of episodes.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. We have been a little busy, but hopefully by December, everything will mellow out.
We'll get back on it.
I don't feel like we have anything major planned anyway.
No, I don't think so. Maybe a couple haircuts here and there. That's it.
What the fuck? True. I did want to, like, before we start in the case, I did want to mention how the last episode we raised our support, or like we mentioned our support for Palestine against the genocide going on there. And there were a lot of people that reached out to us and said, thank you for using your platform for such an important topic. But I feel like we're not really doing as much as we probably should be. Because there's, like I said in the past episode, there are so many other people like doing it more than us and doing a lot better than us. And I did want to give a quick shout out to Leslie. She is, her organization, or it's LatinxParenting.org, and on Instagram her handle is Latinx Parenting, like all one word. I wanted to give her a shout out because a lot of information that I've seen is actually from her. Like, she has what's the word, compacted, no that's not the word,
she's compiled,
like, compiled, yes, she's compiled a lot of information. She's very vocal about it. She's been going on for a while too, even after some people have kind of like talked bad about her, saying like, why are you as a Hispanic like talking about things that aren't related to you? And it's like, they are related to me. Like, how do you not see that? Like, it's like, just because it's not affecting us doesn't mean that we shouldn't care about it.
Yeah, I also looked at it in a way of like, if people know our stances, maybe they'll feel more secure in making their stance as well.
That's true.
Like, you don't feel so alone.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I've always been in support of a free Palestine. We've talked about it before, where it's like growing up. Well, Chicago has like the largest Palestinian American population in the U.S. So to me, I've known Palestinian people my entire life. So it's weird that I wouldn't support it, I guess. And even like hearing their lives and their experiences, and it's like, why would I support Israel? The fuck? Anyway. Is there anything you want to mention before we jump into your story?
Yeah, I thought we were going to talk about some palate cleanser stuff.
That's usually not till the end.
Oh.
Are you new?
Yeah. First episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hello.
Well, I just wanted to mention that at the top of the episode. We did kind of mention like every other stuff, so it feels weird recording like back to back sometimes, because like we kind of talk too much in the first episode of the month. We'll get better and try to split things up.
Yeah, true. That I just feel like that's a very heavy topic, and I don't feel like I know enough to add much to the conversation. I know like what's going on, and I know like what I wish would happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like, all I can do is lend my support.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone should definitely check out Leslie's page and her organization. I also did want to give one more shout out. I mentioned this a while back on Instagram, but one of our listeners, Maria, she's a friend of the pod. She started a nonprofit organization called Underdog Adventures. So I'm just going to read the description off of her Instagram. It says, Underdog Adventures aims to create a world where every dog finds its forever home until every underdog has their day. So it's a group that's meant to find homes for dogs that are usually not easily adoptable or like considered non-adoptable. So they help kind of do reach out events to find homes for dogs. So I really recommend reaching out to them as well, and maybe giving a donation to a nonprofit. Oh, it was babies. Today's Giving Tuesday. Have you ever heard about that?
No.
I saw it on the news this morning. So there's Black Friday and then there's Cyber Monday. But there's also Giving Tuesday. And Giving Tuesday is like any money that you would have spent on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, you instead give it to like an organization. But yeah, I've never heard about it before until this morning. So what a perfect opportunity.
To give back.
To give back.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to jump into your story now?
Sure.
I'm kind of excited because I've never heard of...
So my story today is about the Toy Box Killer. And this was actually suggested to us by our primo Enrique. So shout out to Enrique. I don't know if you still listen to the pod, but here, this is for you, sir.
Thank you.
My sources of information were from thesun.com, crimewire.com, allthat'sinteresting.com, and cynthiavigil.com. Also, there was another one. No, it was still the crimewire.com. I think I pulled off like pieces of an article and then also like a quote from it. So then I like went back to it. But okay, to start out, David Parker Ray was born on November 6, 1939 in the town of Belen, New Mexico. It is reported that Ray had a really like bad upbringing, and there was a lot of alleged abuse. So he suffered emotional and physical abuse from his dad and supposedly his grandfather. There are accounts that indicate Ray's father was actually a violent alcoholic. And additionally, Ray's grandfather was rumored to be involved in criminal activities, which could have potentially have exposed Ray to a life of delinquency from very early on. And so to keep in mind, or like to kind of like, just kind of clarify, Ray's dad was not in the picture. He lived with his grandparents on a farm. His dad was somebody that would come visit often, but it was said that like when he came and visited Ray, it was never for a good reason. It was pretty much to just beat the shit out of him.
Oh, wow.
So there's not really a lot of information other than this about Ray's upbringing, but it's also said that people that know him say that he was bullied a lot in like grade, middle school, and high school because of his shyness around girls. These compounding factors may have been what led him to drink and abuse drugs at a very young age, ultimately resulting in him gaining the infamous moniker of the Toy Box Killer. Wait,
I'm sorry. Is it explained how he got that? Like, what do you mean? Or are you going to explain?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. These challenging circumstances during his upbringing might have contributed to Ray's disturbed psyche and eventual criminal behavior later in life. However, specific details, as I mentioned before, are not extensively documented. And it's like there's really like bits and pieces of everything. Like there's also about how he served in the U.S. Army from around 1957 and later received an honorable discharge in 1961. To this day, it's pretty unclear when Ray began his crime spree, but it is believed that it started around the mid-1950s. The only reason he was caught was because one of his victims, Cynthia Vigil, was actually able to escape. And this is a direct quote. "I went to live in various motels along the track of Albuquerque. In 1998, 5 years before my mother's death, I then at age 20 lost my best friend Raymundo Baca. Raymundo was murdered while in the lifestyle and on a date with a man, Robert Bryant, that Raymundo and I have experienced problems with before. Raymundo's body eventually turned up in the man's vehicle after he was arrested on a DUI charge. He was convicted of a murder and died in prison. Almost a year after Raymundo was found in 1999, I was kidnapped in Albuquerque and transported to Elephant Butte, New Mexico, where I was collared, chained, and tortured for 3 days by David Parker Ray, known as the Toy Box Killer, and his female accomplice, Cindy Hendy. Having lost both of my mother and my best friends to murderers, I was determined to escape. When Ray left the home to go to work and Hendy was on the phone, I seized the opportunity to grab the key to release myself from the chain. Hendy realized what was happening and tried to stop me, which led to an altercation with Hendy being hit on the head and stabbed with an ice pick by me. At this point, I was able to run out of the house, naked with the metal collar still around my neck, and brought national attention to a man who is thought to have murdered 58 plus people. I encountered permanent nerve damage as a result of the torture, but was never compensated either." So, I kind of read like what happened to this woman, and really like they drugged her, they picked her up, tortured her for 3 days sexually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I probably should have mentioned the trigger warnings in the beginning. Like, really, when that lady was not paying attention, she fought her, stabbed her with an ice pick in the neck, and ran out. People that were driving by saw her running naked down the street covered in blood. And she was able to eventually run far. Nobody really, like, stopped her because they were like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
So she kept going and was able to kind of run into another mobile home, like, close by. And the lady that lived in the mobile home brought her in and was like, that fucking neighbor was weird. I fucking knew there was something weird about that man. Let's call the police. And then they called the police and they showed up. So it was kind of like a very interesting way that, like, he got discovered, or, like, everything got uncovered. And kind of like this fucking thing just was like unwrapping or unveiling while this was going on.
Were there like people missing?
So that's the thing. Nobody noticed anybody was missing or connected to him or thought that it could have been connected until this happened. Oh. So people didn't start putting like one and two together until this happened. And they actually realized that he had been kidnapping people for a while. This is why I said, like, his spree, they don't even know when it started. They were like, sometime in the 1950s it started. They don't even know. People in this area, like Arizona, New Mexico, you know, like, indigenous women, like, disappear a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sex workers disappear a lot, and nobody really asks questions. And so for a long time, he was torturing a lot of women, and nobody ever knew. So this is a direct quote from Darlene, the neighbor. She came straight in wearing nothing except the chains around her neck and was crying. She was bloody, very bloody, and was a terrified girl. Cynthia screamed, "Don't let them get me." It later emerged that Cynthia had escaped after 3 days of torture by Ray and his accomplice, Cindy Hendy. After arresting David Parker Ray for the abduction of Vigil, the police quickly obtained a warrant to search his home and trailer, according to True TV. What authorities found inside the trailer shocked and disturbed them. A sign cops found on the inside wall of the trailer read, "Satan's Den." So that was the first thing. Ray's quote-unquote toy box contained a gynecologist-type table in the middle with a mirror mounted to the ceiling so his victims could see the horrors delivered upon them. Littering the floor were whips, chains, pulleys, straps, clamps, leg spreader bars, surgical blades, saws, and numerous sex toys all over the mobile, like the mobile trailer.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Authorities also found a wooden contraption which was apparently used to immobilize Ray's victims while he and his friends them. Chilling diagrams on the walls showed different methods for inflicting pain on the women that were tortured. He worked as a maintenance man for the New Mexico Parks Department in nearby Truth or Consequences, where he often picked up the victims working in the bars. So this was like local people that he would see, and he would pick them up. It isn't known exactly when Ray began committing these horrific crimes. Victims brought back to his toy box would find themselves strapped to a makeshift gynecological chair, at which point they were played a spine-chilling pre-recorded message featuring Ray's voice. In the recording, the asshole, like, taped himself saying he was f***ing bitches since he was a teenager. And he would play this recording to these women before he started, like, hurting them.
What the fuck? Like, he just had a movie with him saying that? Like, Saw?
A VHS tape.
Like, Saw?
Yeah. He even alleged to his first wife that he had kidnapped, tortured, and murdered a woman as far back as 1957, when he would have been just 17 years old.
What the fuck?
Amidst the publicity of the arrest of David Parker Ray after his abduction of Cynthia Vigil, another woman came forward with a similar story. Angelica Montano was an acquaintance of Ray's who, after visiting his house to borrow cake mix, had been drugged by him at the door and tortured. Montana was then left by a highway out in the desert. Luckily, she was found there alive by police, but there had been no follow-up on her case. Ray often drugged his victims while tormenting them using substances like sodium pentothal and phenobarbital, so barbiturates, so that they could not properly remember what happened to them if they survived their torture. This is something that came up again when talking about him. Like, it was like they couldn't actually get him because whenever they would talk to the women that survived, they'd be like, well, I don't really remember. Like I know somebody did something bad to me, but I can't remember because they were so drugged up when those things were happening to them.
Is that something that's like easily accessible to him?
Like, back in that day, it was. Oh. This was a different time. They had Quaaludes back then. Like, that's not something we have today. Mm-hmm. So kind of going back in... well, so Montano came out. So since both Vigil and Montano were willing to testify to race crimes, the case against the toy box killer started growing and growing and getting traction. But let's kind of go back and talk about the people that were also involved in this as well, because this is fucking crazy. In 1997, Ray met Cindy Hendy, a 37-year-old mother of three on the run from the police who had ditched her children and fled across the country. Those two met and then worked together and became partners sexually as well as partners in crime. Ray trained Hendy to be his accomplice, teaching her how to kidnap and abuse women. He even made an 18-point instructional guide titled Psychological and Physical Procedures, Initial Handling of the Captive Personal Fetish, which was taped to the wall of her torture chamber. His torture chamber was constructed by Ray for a cost of around $100,000. A mirror on the ceiling over the gynecological table forced victims to watch anything that they were doing while he was doing it to them. So really, like, this tape, kind of in reference to the tape, this is giving more information about it. It was a 45-minute recorded message by Ray. It was the one that I was saying earlier that was like, I women, you know, the one that I was talking about before. At the end of the tape, he would tell women that he would drug them with sodium pentothal and barbiturates so they couldn't remember what had happened. So it was basically like he was saying, I'm going to you and you're not gonna remember. I've been raping bitches for a long time and I'm like, you're not gonna remember anything that happened. Like, he was truly a sick fucking person. Why?
I don't get, like, what the fuck?
People, that this is where people make reference to, like, when people made fun of him when he was younger, he like built a complex against women because he felt shy against them, and I'm like, that's kind of not an excuse. Like, go see a fucking therapist. Like, that's crazy to me. He chillingly pledged that you're not going to remember a fucking thing about this little adventure. You won't remember this place, us, or what has happened to you. One other person that was helping him with his crimes, and this one fucking shook me. This is a quote. A complaint filed in Sierra County Magistrate Court charged the daughter, Glenda Jane Ray, also known as Jessie Ray, 32 years old, with kidnapping and 6 counts of criminal sexual penetration. It is said she and her father, David Parker Ray, had kidnapped and assaulted the women over the course of 4 days in July of 1996. So not only did he have Cindy Hendy, he had his adult daughter helping him these women.
Oh, hell no.
Exactly. In 1986, Ray's adult daughter, Glenda Jean Jessie Ray, told the FBI that her father was abducting and torturing women before selling them over the border in Mexico. But her allegations were never followed up on, and chillingly, Ray's daughter soon becomes his accomplice in the despicable crimes. One of the women recounts her story. In 1994, a 20-year-old Kelly Van Cleve moved from Kansas City to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. She married Patrick Murphy in 1996, but their marriage was strained. One night after a fight, she went to a nearby bar where she met with a friend, Jessie Ray, the daughter of David Parker Ray. Jessie drove them to her father's house where he overpowered Kelly. He held a knife to her throat, put a dog collar around her neck, and covered her face in duct tape. When Kelly was taken into the toy box, she could see chains, whips, clamps, cattle prods, bottles of oil, and metal bars. A medical cabinet with syringes and chemicals was also kept in the trailer. The chair would be moved along a 6-foot rail using a remote control. There was also a 7-foot coffin with restraints and ventilation holes used by Ray to keep his victims inside of. Kelly was tortured for 3 days before Ray drove her home. He told her husband he had found her walking aimlessly on the beach. Murphy believed that his wife had been drinking or had cheated on him and kicked her out of the house. For years, she couldn't remember what had happened, but she was haunted by vivid nightmares. She had PTSD from the situation that happened to her. Oh my
God.
Like, he was doing this to different women. By the time the news about Ray came out, his victim, Kelly Van Cleve, was separated from her husband and was still really tortured by the nightmares of what had happened. But her former mother-in-law, on seeing that man in the news, believed that Kelly may have been one of his victims and called in a tip to the FBI. Agents reviewed a video that was in Ray's trailer, and they were able to connect her, like, leg tattoo to the tattoo of a woman that was in the video. So they were like, this is her. In the tape of instructions he made for his victims, he claimed to have murdered a number of women. He also confessed to his girlfriend how he would dump the corpses of victims in a nearby reservoir. Ray also referred to a number of accomplices in his tape. He was sentenced to 224 years in prison for abduction and torture of three women. Today, police believe Ray may have tortured and murdered as many as 60 women during almost a half century of crime that only ended with his arrest in 1999. He targeted mostly sex workers, drug addicts, and runaways. It isn't known how many women he killed, as Ray died before FBI agents could interview him properly. That's the fucking kicker. Fuck. On May 28th... I was gonna ask,
like, did they... That video that he would present, like, did they use that as evidence against him? Because that's basically a confession.
Yes, they did. I don't feel like they got very far with him. Like, it's like he was barely charged before he died in 2002. So on May 28th, 2002, while waiting to be interrogated by the state police, Ray died of a massive heart attack at the age of 62 years old.
Oh, brother.
His accomplice, Hendy, or his then-like girlfriend, Hendy, was convicted of numerous charges, including kidnapping and criminal sexual penetration. She was sentenced to 36 years in prison. As part of her plea bargain, she agreed to testify against Ray. In 2019, after serving approximately two-thirds of her sentence, Hendy was granted parole and released from prison, which caused a lot of controversy considering the severity of her crimes. In March of 2022... it was thought she was living in Hamilton, Montana. They fucking gave her up in this.
Yeah, I would fucking be mad too.
They were like, this is where that lady lives, right here, Montana. Go visit her.
Allegedly, I heard that she was at 2806.
And this was very recent, in 2022. This article came out very recently.
Okay.
So about a year ago, she was living in Montana. So Ray's daughter, Glenda Jean, or Jessie Ray, was also implicated in her father's horrific crimes, accused of actively participating in abductions and tortures that took place in Ray's quote-unquote toy box. She was arrested by the FBI and initially charged with 12 criminal counts, including kidnapping and criminal sexual penetration. Ray claimed to have abducted about 40 victims from several states, though authorities believe that the number is likely higher because there was not a good count and they caught him way too late. Like, they just had no idea. Cynthia Vigil Jaramillo went on to become a founding member of the nonprofit Street Safe New Mexico. Through her work with co-founder Christine Barber, Jaramillo helps give protection and assistance to women living on the streets, especially those who are sex workers and vulnerable to violent predators. Jaramillo and Barber testify in court when a woman gets ensuring the victim gets the last word. Street Safe assisted the Albuquerque Police Department with investigating the West Mesa serial killer, the Bone Collector, who also preyed on sex workers, as many serial killers do. As far as her role in stopping David Parker Ray, Jaramillo remains both modest and strong, saying that she didn't save other women, she saved herself. "I'm not his victim," Cynthia said. "I was never his victim. I wish he could have known that." And she's done really good things in New Mexico after this. So, and that was the story of the toy box killer. Like, I feel kind of like, I know that there are people that feel very strongly towards certain triggers like this, so it was like I kind of highlighted like some really fucked up things but didn't go too deep into anything that happened, just because out of respect, because I know some of these victims are still alive.
Yeah, I mean, this was not that long ago.
No, it was not. It was really not. 20 years ago is when he, a little over 20 years ago, in the late 90s is when he was finally charged, and then when he passed away in 2002.
Wow. Yeah, he was 62 when he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, that's so annoying that you mentioned that someone tried to tip the FBI that supposedly he was like basically human trafficking across the border.
His daughter, before she got caught. She was basically saying like, "Hey, my dad's doing something weird," but then ended up helping him anyways.
Why?
I don't. Why? Just fucking bizarre. Sorry.
Did you explain what happened to her?
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You said that the girlfriend that he had,
she went to jail and recently got out. That's yes. The one that's living in Montana.
She's living in Montana.
Yeah.
Let's find her, ladies. And what about his daughter?
His daughter was the one. Hold on. She Oh, I don't know what happened. It looks like it got like cut off or something. Okay, so what ended up happening to her is she got charged with 12 criminal counts, including kidnapping and criminal sexual penetration. Mm-hmm. She basically only served 2 years of that. Because she gave like a lot of information about Cindy and a lot of information about her dad. She got out early and has been, like, disappeared from the face of the earth since then. This article made it a point to note that, like, no one has known anything about her for about 25 years.
What the fuck?
She disappeared. Her ass just gone. She probably changed her name. She's maybe somebody's neighbor or somebody's, like, friend.
Girl, that's why I don't leave my house, because I don't fucking trust anybody.
I'm glad you brought that back up. I don't know how that didn't make it into my notes, but I, like, when I read that, I was like, that's fucking crazy. She literally did not go to jail. And it was because they were like, oh, she didn't really do anything. She didn't do much.
Not even. They were probably like, oh, well, she gave us information.
Yeah.
Like, that does not mean shit.
She, yeah, it was like, she got a plea deal and then she gave up, got a plea deal because she gave so much information about her dad and Cindy. And I believe that, like, also, she kind of, like, led them to where some bodies were buried, if I remember correctly.
Huh.
Yeah.
So he did actually kill people?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell no.
I don't, and, like, it just, it's crazy to me because I'm like, how many women are out there walking around that, like, went through something because this man put them through, and they're just kind of like, what's the point of me saying anything now? And, like, they're just living with that. Or maybe women that have passed away by now that experienced that. Or women that didn't actually remember. Like, that he drugged them so much that they didn't even remember.
Yeah. I think about, like, that woman that he held her captive for 3 days and then drove her home. And then her husband thought she was cheating, so he kicked her out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck?
I can tell you I would have been asking a lot more questions.
Yeah. Then just be like, I know you were cheating. Like, what the fuck? Insane. Well,
it's kind of a heavy, heavy story, and it was very interesting. So I know I read through it, like, really fast, but it was like, like, kind of like, once I started reading through the details of this, it, like, pulled me in. I was like, holy shit. Like, I'd never heard of this before.
Well, I haven't either. And honestly, I hate how they give a lot of serial killers, like, these, what are they called? Like, names.
Yeah.
Like, the toy box killer. You made one that's, like, or you covered one that's, the tube sock killer. Mm-hmm. Where it's, like, why do they give these little names, these little monikers. Additionals. Yeah. It's like, don't do that. Use their full fucking name. Like, I know it's used for, like newspapers and, like, the news do it for simplicity, but, like, don't have people forget their names. Like, these people fucking ruin people's lives. Like, do not let them...
Don't even let them get away with it for a second.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it was... I'm kind of surprised almost, like, that there isn't a movie out about this already. I tried to look to see if I could see if there was a movie. Because, you know, like, when Karen Silkwood, she had a movie come out about her. Like, just, you know, there's, like, some Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of these movies that come out that are based off of, like...
fucked up killers.
Yes. Yeah. And there wasn't anything. And so I'm kind of glad, but I feel like since we watched so many movies, I would have known more about the Toy Box Killer if there was a movie associated, like there was a movie like that was based off of him.
Well, I mean, you said too, like it hasn't been, like this is recent.
Yeah.
This is relatively recent. Yeah, well, sorry, I was trying to look over the Wikipedia article by him, or of him, and it says victims. 0 confirmed, 3 survived. Between 60 to more than 100 murders suspected.
It's like they can't, like, pinpoint.
But that's fucking insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Out of all those people, there were 3 survivors.
Mm-hmm. And they're not exactly sure how many people he killed either. They're not exactly sure.
Somewhere between 60 and more than 100.
Yeah. And it's like, what I've known, like, what I read, they only found a couple of bodies. And it was more because they cross-referenced the dates that people went missing, the locations, and where he was living at what time.
At the times that he was, like,
yes, active, and, like, what killing. His MO was. It was, like, were these sex workers? Were these, like... So it was like they're cross-referencing and they're guessing. They don't actually know.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I know. I remember what I was going to say about how you said that there's no movie based off of him. When you were describing it, part of me, like, part of it reminded me of, like, Saw. Like, the first movie of Saw.
Yeah, a little bit.
How they had, like, the movie. And to me, it was, like, a fucked up game for them. Because I'm sure that's how he took it, too. Like, just a fucked up game for him to enjoy.
Well, it's like a sexual gratification thing for them. Like, they're sexually gratified by, like, basically inflicting, like, fear in people and doing these things to them. Like, I could never imagine. This is fucking crazy. A therapist is needed.
Yes.
Jail.
I mean, in death?
Electric chair.
He... got off easy, honestly, by having a fucking, how'd you say, a massive heart attack?
Yes.
We need a bigger heart attack, actually.
We need a fucking heart beat down where you get beat up, where you get your ass beat and killed by, like, I don't know, like, hearts? I don't know. Okay. I don't know where I was going with that. Well, but no, he got off way too easy in this case. Way too fucking easy.
I would say thank you for sharing, but I actually hated that so much.
Yeah.
Every time we cover true crime, it's like, fuck. This is fucked up.
Yeah.
I hate this.
It's never... But unfortunately, that's like what people like listening to, like the really messed up stuff, you know?
I mean, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, it's kind of morbid and interesting and things like that, but we do have to remember that we have to be respectful if, like, there are people that are still alive. We have to be respectful that there are possible people that are, like, that he did victimize, they died, and they haven't, like, they haven't even discovered their bodies. They're out in the desert somewhere.
Yeah, they never got justice.
No. Okay, but anyways, to lighten up, what you got for the palate cleanser?
Oh, girl, we need it. We need it for the palate cleanser. Mm-hmm. I know we mentioned in the last episode that we finished Midnight Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to give any spoilers, but, you know, we thought we shared what we had to say. We finally finished The Haunting of Hill House.
Did we finish that?
Do you know that came out, like, in 2018? Or, like, around 2018. Like, it was a while back. Like, people listening to this are like, damn, I remember when that came out.
I'm thinking of Bly Manor.
We did watch that, too, but we never finished it.
Yeah.
I feel like it got a little boring.
It did. After that lady kept walking through the house, tracking some mud, I was like, I would have beat her ass.
You know what?
Para andar trapeando todos los días? Yeah. No. Mm-mm.
Just shut the door.
Ni que sea el diablo. Don't fuck with me. Don't fucking get my floor dirty. Don't fuck with me. Because I'm already tired by the time I get home. You mean I have to, like, wake up early and mop the floor before I go to work? Or mop the floor when I get home?
Not even a house. Not even, like, a small house like what we live in. You have to mop a fucking mansion.
Yeah.
Several rooms. Several floors.
Voy a sacar la ouijita. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to summon that demon and then I'm going to beat the shit out of them. Wait, with the
who
fucking...
Who the fuck did this?
Yeah, shit. With the trapeador. I'm going to get that trapeador wet as fuck and dirty and then I'm just going to smack the shit out of them with that wet ass trapeador.
Okay. And we love that
for you. Already see that. I already see them like getting their ass beat.
I do.
Also, the whole time I was watching that, I was thinking of Cindy, the TV's leaking.
Oh, yeah.
And then the girl crawls out of the TV.
Iconic line, honestly.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, the scene that I didn't like, where I feel like I got kind of lost about it. And I think the show does it intentionally to try to, like, build up some suspense. Where the lady was, like, time traveling, I think. Or, like, skipping through time. But she'd be talking to someone, and then she would, like, turn around, and she'd be, like, 10 years into the future. She would, like, do the same thing. Turn around, and it's, like, 7 years ago.
Spoilers.
So, I mean, I don't care. I do not like that show. Because I felt... That's how I feel when I'm high. When I used to partake in... When I was younger. When I wasn't 30.
Oh, when that one time you ordered like 6 sushi rolls and then you didn't eat them?
Eat any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just sitting there drooling.
That was crazy. You slept for like 2 hours.
I had places to go.
And then you said, don't look at me, I'm embarrassed. And I'm like...
Look at me, I'm bashful.
I'm like, what? It's like, I'm cool. I'm good.
Yeah, I just didn't like that. Because that's how it felt sometimes. Like, if someone was talking to me, I'd be like, huh?
Well,
and then I would like blink and it would be like 4 hours later.
Well, I think that the point that they were trying to drive home is that, like, I don't think she realized what was going on. Until she did, and she's like, oh, fuck.
I don't know. It didn't provide a lot of details.
It didn't.
We did start watching...
Follow the House of Usher.
Follow the House of Usher.
And all of the characters are fucking annoying. Holy shit. But I love it.
What's that one guy's name? Mike Flanagan. Brittany, our friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Our friend. She's a big fan of Mike Flanagan and all of his work. So we were primarily watching it because I think she recommended it. But we have had a lot of people reach out to us and say, hey, you should check this out. You should check this out. Haunting of Hill House, that was okay. Midnight Mass, that was okay. It was 2018. The Haunting of Hill House came out 2018. Then Midnight Mass came out 2021. The Midnight Club came out in 2022, and the Fall of the House of Usher came out 2023. So this year. The Midnight Club, como que no me interesa. I'm sorry. I'm not
really. I've heard that it's really good, and like clips that I see are really good, but it's like we never really got that far into it. We got like halfway through episode one and stopped watching.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Moving on. I think I saw this on Twitter or maybe TikTok or maybe Reddit. But have you ever realized that if we have children, they might be immune to yo mama jokes?
We can't ever have children.
Per.
You know what, though? If you ever get mad at them, you could say, chinga tu madre.
True.
And they'd be like, what the fuck?
They'd be like, what the?
Like my mom, whenever she would get mad at me when I was little, she was like, chinga tu madre. And then I'd be like, but that's you.
Like, but reporting live, the call is coming from inside the house.
I'm like, but that's you, so how? How? You?
Oh, brother.
I think, like, I don't know. She said it a couple of times to me.
Do you think...
I was bad, but it was, like, it was really funny to me. Like, after she would say it to me, I would go to another room and fucking laugh. And like, giggle Snicker. Under a pillow. I'm like... Yeah.
So she do you think your mama jokes will eventually survive the test of time?
There's always new iterations of them.
That's true. Your mama. That's a good one.
Paige.
Your mama.
Yeah. That one time she said it in front of the whole office and I was so embarrassed. Paige. I don't even remember what I said anymore. I said, this, and this. And then she's like, your mama. And I was like, and the whole office turned around to look at me. And it was like the action of the whole office looking at me made my face red. And I was like, how dare you? That was so good. How dare you?
The way she dragged you.
I loved it. Do it again. Why am I a sucker for punishment? Like, I don't like stress, but talk shit to me because I love it.
Oh, we were talking about this with Christian and Mita the other day about the Am I the Asshole?
Yeah.
The subreddit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Smosh. I've recently started watching YouTube videos of Smosh where they, like, react to... the Reddit stories, and some of them are like, am I the asshole? Because I think they're like the most common that they cover. But the setup for these stories are always like, am I the asshole for loving my wife unconditionally? And then they like share some fucked up, like the most fucked up shit.
My wife recently gained 30 pounds because she had a baby in a really complicated pregnancy.
Yeah.
And I called her a fat cow and told her to lose weight, but it's only because I love her.
Yeah. I called her a fat cow because it's her duty as a woman to love me. And it's her responsibility and her fault that I'm no longer attracted to her. Am I the asshole?
The fucking delusion of some people.
The fucking mental gymnastics that some men go through to try to justify being a fucking asshole to their wife.
Bad people in general.
Yeah.
Bad people. I remember that it's like, am I the asshole for wearing white to my sister's wedding?
Die.
And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, she thought this day was going to be all about her, and like, I proposed, or my husband, I knew that my boyfriend was proposing to me at her wedding, and I'm like, somebody should beat the shit out of you and your fucking boyfriend.
Ooh, someone proposing at your wedding?
And not asking you?
I'd fucking kill someone.
Especially because people, like, there are some people that don't mind. Mm-hmm. It's okay. They're like, it's fine. Do it.
Yeah.
But there are some people that are like, that planned for months, years sometimes, spent all of this money to have that day focused on them. And then somebody's like, stop, hold the phone. Do you want to marry me?
Yeah.
I'd run up and hit them with a bat.
That's true. Aluminum. Though, sometimes they are like in on it. Like, I've seen a few videos where like they're doing the, like they're throwing the ramo, and instead they like, instead of throwing it back, what am I saying? Instead of throwing it back, kind of turn around and hand them the bouquet, and then that's when that person like turns around and then they propose.
Yeah.
So it's a thing. It's a thing that people do, but you have to be okay with it.
Do I think it's tacky, regardless if the bride says yes, like yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If your cousin says, yes, your boyfriend can propose to you at my wedding, that's still fucking tacky.
Like, yeah, well, your boyfriend's a fucking nerd.
Why
the fuck
would you do that? Like, why would you... First of all, and you have to think about it. Like, you were asking your cousin and putting themselves in a position where they almost have to say yes to you. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you're forcing them to say yes, because what if they're like, I'm a nice person. I want people to think that I'm a nice person. So they're just saying yes because they're being nice about it.
I wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
aluminum bat, especially because it makes that noise when you hit stuff with it. That pew.
When I see Stuart Little.
Pew.
Yeah. Yeah. I love reading those, honestly. The Am I the Asshole ones. Do you remember that one where it was, I think it was some guy that was putting sawdust in his wife's,
for added fiber. Cause she was gaining too much weight.
It wasn't for added fiber. It was like to fill her up, I guess. So it would, because his plan was to make her eat this, get full on it, and I want to eat later.
That's fucking weird.
Jail. I think it eventually went over to like the subreddit legal advice because it got that scary.
Yeah. Jail. What? Okay. How did you start that story? Because I was going to say something, but I can't remember what it was. What did you just say?
The Am I the Asshole? Like, covering the Am I the Asshole?
Yeah, but what did you read off your phone?
Where it's like, am I the asshole for loving my wife unconditionally?
What was, and then sharing some fucked up shit. Where was I going with this? I was thinking of something. I can't remember anymore. That's I might okay. remember eventually.
Yeah, whatever. If you remember, that's okay. You can share it.
Yeah.
Speaking of shows, I'm sorry. I should have clumped these all together. But we watched the new Goosebumps show, like, during Halloween. And you said you liked it.
Did we even finish it?
Yeah.
No, we didn't. They're still, the episodes were still coming out.
Oh, yeah. Well, what'd you think about
it? We haven't revisited it. I liked it a lot.
It was surprisingly different.
It was campy. It was cute. It was fun.
Like, I really liked the original Goosebumps. I felt like it was, like, every episode was a book, basically. But what they did with the new show, they kind of tied them all together as, like, one narrative and kind of set it in one world where all of these things kind of exist. And I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a good, like,
they tried.
They really tried.
Quickly, what was your old Goosebumps favorite episode?
What the fuck was it called? Welcome to Camp Nightmare or something?
Was that an episode? Not book. Episode.
Goosebumps.
Goombups. I think we did talk about this because I said Goombups.
Maybe. It was Welcome to Camp Nightmare. That was my favorite book and my favorite episode. Because there's like a twist at the end, and I don't want to ruin it if you haven't watched it. Read the book. Spoilers. So I'm glad you really liked it, because I did too as well, and maybe we should revisit it soon.
Oh, what's my favorite Goosebumps
episode? Yeah, yeah, what do you want?
Let's see. My favorite one... Wait. Never mind.
Okay.
I'm getting Are You Afraid of the Dark mixed in with Goosebumps, and that's not the same thing.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Gypsy Rose is getting out of prison?
Wow. Doesn't she really want to see Taylor Swift?
I think so. So, yes, Gypsy Rose is set to be released on the 28th of December, 2023. By then, she will have served 85% of her 10-year sentence. Dee Dee Blanchard, which is her mom, was found dead in June of 2015, and soon after, Gypsy and her boyfriend, Nick Godijohn, were both charged with first-degree murder. I didn't realize there was so much fucking discourse and, like, how controversial this was.
It's like Casey Anthony.
Oh, no. Casey Anthony, everyone fucking agrees that she was fucking insane and that she killed her child. That's besides the point. What I meant controversial with this is that I was reading on Reddit of some people, like, saying, like, that she's really excited. They're really excited for her to get out, that she's able to, like, finally, like, try to live her life as an adult as she wanted. Because even though she did murder her mom, which is fucked up thing to do, her mom also took a lot of her life away.
Yeah.
Like she... Oh, my God. I remember we covered the episode in Spanish, and I still can never forget about how she had her teeth extracted. All of her teeth extracted. When she was, like, 18 or something. Like, she was, like... She just became, like, 17, 18. But she had got all her teeth extracted. She would, like... Just what she went through, I felt like, was a form of torture. It was what some people were saying on Twitter about it, where it's like that she's finally able to move on,
yeah,
and live her life as an adult. Like, she now has the chances that she didn't have before. And I get, but she also, like, don't try to diminish that she fucking murdered someone.
Or at least was an accomplice.
That's true. Because I don't think she... Yeah, I know what you mean.
As far as the TV show showed, it wasn't her. It was the boyfriend.
She kind of orchestrated it, though.
Yes.
It's a fucked up situation. We did cover it in Spanish, though. And maybe we'll cover it in an episode in English.
One day in the future.
Maybe on December 28th.
Maybe. Why December 28th? What the fuck?
Because she gets out that day.
Oh. Sorry, I'm sleepy already.
I think that's all I have...
Well, thank you so much for that. That was so enlightening. Well, thanks for listening. Please follow us on Instagram at GetSpookyPodcast and on Twitter at GetSpookyPod. Also, email us any story suggestions or your own scary stories at GetSpookyPodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Taylor Turner for the artwork and Kyle Fields for the intro music. Don't forget to tell someone you love how much they mean to you. Bye.
Bye.